Amen. That's beautiful. Thank you, Corey. All right, take your Bible, please, and go with me to Mark chapter 5. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 15, the way of the transgressor is hard. Some of you who are saved and later in your life know what I'm talking about. The life of a transgressor is hard. One who transgresses the Word of God, goes against the principles of the Bible, goes against everything that the Lord Jesus Christ said and God wrote in the Scriptures, their life is hard, very hard. You know which way to go. I see a lot of that, and you see a lot of that. You wonder, why in the world would people even want to get up in the morning? Their life is the way it is. Amen. They have no hope. They just go on, go on, go on. They're fatalists. They say, well, this is all I got to do, and this is all I'm going to do, so I don't have any other place to go, so I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. It ain't working, but at least it's doing something. Amen. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people that have no hope at all. They have no life at all, and they have no eternity values in view at all. I want to talk to you about that today. Let's pray. Father, would you do great work today, Lord? We need you, and we need to hear from you in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, I want to tell you that sin is deceitful. Sin is deceitful. It promises pleasure, but it gives pain. Sin offers life, but literally gives death. When sin is conceived, it bringeth forth death. It opens up bright as the morning, but it closes as dark as the night. It is a beast of prey. Under a velvet paw, it conceals a claw which wounds and lacerates those who would stroke it. Every sin has its seeds. And by the way, those seeds will grow. Whatsoever a man sows, he'll reap. He will reap it. Amen. It's self-propagating. It's kind of like a weed. Once that weed gets going, it just keeps going and going and going. Birds pick them up and spread them all over the place. I was back home in Michigan. I was talking to my farmer. We were sitting in the combine. It's an amazing thing. These big combines got air conditioning. They got all kinds of stuff in them, GPS, Jeepers Jenny, and all that other stuff. Amen. And I climbed in that thing, and we were talking. He says, we were talking about, I said, boy, I remember working this field with my grandfather and my father. And I remember hoeing beans and hoeing corn. And I remember that. And I said, man, we had a terrible problem over on the Fales place, the place my dad bought. And it had mustard. Well, he told me, and I didn't realize this. He said, well, there was a field about 5 miles from here. They started to grow mustard back in the 30s. And, for instance, mustard. And the problem was, the birds just carried it all over, and the winds carried it. And says, everybody had mustard. And they haven't grown mustard there for 30 years. Not 30 years, good night. 80 years. And but it's still around, I'll tell you. And it just keeps propagating itself. It just keeps showing up. And I remember just giving big piles of it. And while you were in school, I was out hoeing beans. We'd be piling them. And boy, it'd get a little dry. My daddy'd touch a match to that thing, burn it down, trying to get rid of those dirty, rotten mustard seeds. That's like sin is. Sin just keeps, and it's a funny thing. Those seeds will lay in that dormant in that ground for a long time, and all of a sudden, psh, boy, isn't that the way sin is? Amen. Boy, you're going down the road and everything's fine. Lord, boy, it's a great day. You had your devotions in the morning, had your prayer, and all of a sudden, about 10 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden, some stupid thought comes in your brain. Isn't that an incredible thing? And you're going, what was that? There's a day I was doing something, all of a sudden, something came to my mind. I thought, that's what I said. I thought, what was that all about? I have no desire, no nothing about that. What in the world? I said, God, I don't want that. And if I have that, maybe some of you else have that too. And I go to the spiritual drugstore, and I tell the pharmacist, I need something to kill that. And he hands me this little piece of paper. And this little piece of paper says this: Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You can't think of bad things when you're thinking about Jesus loves me, this I know. Batman! Brother, I just go down to the drugstore. I said, hey, I need some of that. And they just hand me a prescription, said Jesus loves me. And man, I'll tell you what, I'm a happy day, amen. Yeah, sin just keep popping up when you don't want it, amen. Every sin has a seed of another sin. It roots itself in the soul of the sinner until it has sown up every bit of the good soil that we have. It corrupts man's nature. It corrupts man's taste. It corrupts man's will. It weakens his will. It scars his conscience. With each evil deed, its passions are towards evil and ever become stronger and stronger until it is consumed by its own lust. And this is what you and I have to deal with every day. I don't care who you are. Every man that I've ever read in history, if they're honest, they'll tell you the same thing. Every Bible character had their prominence. John the Baptist, the one that cried, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Jesus said, baptize me. He said, Lord, I'm not even worthy of unlatching your shoes. What was his sin? Doubt. He's in prison. He's about ready to lose his head over his preaching. And he tells his disciples, go see Jesus and ask him, are you the one that come or should we look for another? That's doubt. Don't tell me that you don't sin. I was called to a house yesterday and I talked to this person and his family members, and I said, you know, I said, the Bible said all of us sinners. And the lady said, well, my son never sinned. I said, excuse me. I said, I know I have. I said, I'm sinning all the time. I'm fighting all the time. If you're a real Christian, you're fighting it all the time. You're fighting all the time. You're in a battle. Every day you're in a battle. Every moment you're in a battle. You're trying to keep that mind set on Him. And my mind is always set on Him, me. I'm a creature of habit. I'm a creature of comfort. I want my way or hit the highway. All of us are like that. We're full of pride. We're deceptive. We're deceivers. Why? Because we have this old man of sin that's still in us. Paul the Apostle said, man, I keep trying to mortify this body. He said, I keep trying to throw it in the coffin and tack down the nails on it. He said, I keep finding myself pushing up, wanting to get up. Sin is deceitful. The wretched state of a sinner to the world. This man who was the maniac of Gadara, many times we give him that name, he was in a hopeless condition. He had no hope. He had nothing to look forward to. He's a tomb dweller. How about that? How'd you like to live in a tomb? How'd you like to live in a cemetery? He's a tomb dweller. He was untamed. They tried to tie him down with chains and he broke them asunder. Nobody could control him. He lost his family. He lost his home. He lost his children. He lost his position in life. He's the crazy man. He's the crazy man of Gadara. He's the joke of the drunkard. He's the fool of justice. Nobody can help him. He was distressed. without family, without friend, without home, without pleasure, without sanity, without respect, without pride, without love. He had nothing. Boy, this guy, he was down and out.
Amen.
For the count. Ever met anybody like that? I think of a man right now. Seemed like everything's gone wrong for him. Everything. He lost everything. Just everything. He had nothing. His heart and his life were out of control. This is what the Bible says. At night and day he was crying. Doesn't sound like any peace. Sounds like that old rock and roll song. I can't get no satisfaction, but I try and I try and I try and I try. That's the world for you. Let me tell you something, teenager. It ain't out there. It's up there. Let me tell you something, young lady. It ain't out there. It's up there with him. Let me tell you, young teenager boy. You can try everything you want, but I'm going to tell you something. Oh, the smartest man in the world. He called him, God said he was the smartest man in the world, Solomon. He tried everything. He drank song. He drank drink. He took woman. He took philosophy. He took science. He took everything. And he said, vanity is vanity. All is vanity. Let me tell you something. I went away to college. I went away to college to play football. That was it. I admit that. But I got there, I got something. Every day they preached at you. These preachers come in and preach at you, this college man, they did preach at Bible teaching. We went to class, it was like a preaching session. It wasn't a class session, it was a preaching session. And they're telling you how to live and how to walk and how to get your life right and how to know the will of God for your life. Man, I come home from college and went back to my old buddies. That's really smart. Amen. Because your buddies are a lot stronger than you are. And they're a lot smarter than you are. I went home to my buddies and they're a bunch of whoremongers and a bunch of drunkards. All they can think is women and drink and song. That's all they can think about. And I sat back and I was with them and I sat back and I seen this guy. Three of them from Michigan State University, one Michigan University, Michigan, and he is a big whoop-de-whoop vice president of the University of Michigan now. I still love the Spartans, amen. We lost yesterday, but anyway. I went back, and guys from all these big colleges, and I looked at them. They're drunk. Drunk. They're talking about marijuana. They're talking about all this junk. And their girlfriends. And I sat back. And I just watched them. And they said, hey, Shear, how come you're not drinking? I said, that's all right. You want to smoke? What's wrong with you? You're not having any fun. Well, I drove home sober that night. They didn't. And boy, something God was just really working in my heart. You know what I said that night? That's not what I want to be, nor what I want to do.
Amen.
And God was really working on my heart. I went back to college. It's like walking on the steps of the shores of heaven. The most amazing old Pillsbury Bible College used to be a godly college. And man, I'm telling you, I said, this is what I want. Let me tell you something. I could have lost it all that night. You understand what I mean? I could have lost it all. I was at the wrong place. I was with the wrong people. I was with the wrong people who could have influenced my life. And I said, I'm not going to go there anymore. I met a young girl named Marcia. Wow. What a change in my life to Jesus. And I made a choice. Let me tell you something about sin. Sin will hand you an apple, but once you take a bite, you'll see a half a worm. You'll drink their booze. It turns out to be hog slop. That stuff will kill you. Not only physically, but spiritually. It'll ruin you. And the things that you could have done for God. I just buried my cousin. 69, as a 66 years old. He was 9 months older than I was. He went to Bob Jones University. While he was at Bob Jones University, that first year, they licensed him to preach. You listen to me? They licensed him to preach. He came back fired up and preaching. I've never seen anything like it. But something happened. Something happened. And became a deputy sheriff. And there's enough wrong with that. But he's heading toward being a preacher. I understand that. I understand what happened. Here's a man who's a tomb dweller, who's lost everything. You hear that? That's what happens in sin. Write that down. That's how you lose. He lost everything. His heart and life were out of control. Night and day he's crying, looking for something. Cutting himself. No man could tame him. By the way, we live in an untamed world ourselves. Government's out of control. Amen. Well, amen. You can say amen. Amen. It's out of control. Amen. Our children are out of control. Our teens are out of control. The things I go in and look at some of your Facebook stuff, you're out of control. But people that used to go to this church, they live other places, and every once in a while they'll write to me. But when they write to me, that opens up a, what they call it, the wall or something like that. How can you open up a wall? I don't understand that, but anyway. And all of a sudden I start looking at the pictures. I'm going like, oh my goodness. The filth they put on there. I write back, you ought to be embarrassed. I write it to them. Shame on you. I said, this is my wife. Do you want Mrs. Shear, who's in her condition today, you want her to read that? I don't think so. It breaks my heart. Put something sweet in there. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Pass the biscuit. Do something. Adults are out of control. Divorce and drinking and drugs and immorality, incest and murder and anger and abuse and cursing and lying. I hear so many Christians. Last night I was watching, I forget what football game it was. And this guy had a mohawk. It was kind of yellow and he had earrings on both sides. In his helmet. Why would anybody wear earrings in your helmet? But anyway, he says, oh, it's the greatest day of my life. You know, and he's talking about how they won, you know. And he said, I give God all the glory. And I want to say, shut up. Don't tell anybody that you know Jesus. And he used God's name in vain almost 8 times. I think it was 8 times. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, that's using God's name in vain. Shame on you if you're a Christian to use God's name in vain. It's one of the commandments, not the suggestions. 10 commandments. Thou shalt not use the Lord God's name in vain. Amen. Amen. You ought to wash your mouth out with soap. Shame on you. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Back in the Bible times, when the scribes would write in the Bible, they would transcribe the Bible. And when they got to the word God, Jehovah, Elohim, Shaddai, they would go and wash themselves, put on new clothing, take a new quill, fill the old quill, take a new quill, and write God's name. And then throw that quill away. And go change their coatskin. That's how they were. So, the Bible said, fear God. How can you use God's name in vain? I mean, shame on us. This guy said, oh yeah, boy, oh glory to God. I heard one guy said, he had a bumper sticker, honk if you love Jesus. You heard about the lady they pulled over, took her to jail. And finally in the morning, said, man, we're sorry. We thought you stole that car. She said, what do you mean? She said, well, he said, there's a car in front of you that stole the car. And you yelled out the window and cursed and swore. And says, on the back it says, if you love Jesus, honk. And we just knew that you stole that car because you wouldn't be a Christian to talk like that. Our world that we live in today is spinning out of control. What a comparison the world, their world at the time of Christ, and the world that we live in today. Look at the response of the city fathers they had towards this man. He was a nuisance to them. That's why we have jails. Get rid of our nuisance people. That's why we have homes. That's why we have institutions and sanatoriums. Just get rid of people. Get them off the street. He was a pest. He was bothersome. He was an embarrassment to their city. The city fathers tried everything they could to reform and transform this man into an acceptable, contributing citizen. To no avail. They couldn't do it, could they? Could they change him? No! The Bible said he just ripped the chains off him and took off running and screaming and yelling during the... They couldn't do nothing with him. He ran in other accounts and said he was naked. Oh, good. Now we got a streaker going on here. He's an embarrassment to us. But when Jesus came to town, when Jesus got a hold of him, the Bible says the city fathers came and found him sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. Listen to me, boys and girls. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. In your right mind. What's the next word? Clothed. That does not mean naked. Clothed. That means covering your body. So you're not an embarrassment. When the Roman Catholic priest of Great Falls, Montana says, I will not serve you sacraments to you ladies if you don't cover yourself up. I'm sick and tired of looking down your blouses. The Roman Catholic priest said that. Shame on you! Dress up! Somebody, God bless you, whoever put it on the Facebook said, I hope you dress like you'd like other women to dress around your husband. Man, that was a bullseye. Now I want to show you how the world really acts and lives. I want to show you how ignorant the world was with this. Notice verse 15. They were afraid. And in all common sense, afraid of what? What are they afraid of? Here's a man who's crazy, running around naked, cutting himself with stones, ripping off chains. The world cannot stop this man, but now he's sitting clothed in his
right mind, and they're afraid.
That's the world. You know what? Us Christians, we're really kooky to them.
Amen.
We're really strange to the world. Why in the world would a woman want to cover herself up and look just nice for her husband? Why in the world would a man only want to look at his wife and not everybody else?
Amen.
Why in the world would a family not let their children to go to a show or a movie? By the way, a pretty good idea. All those people are asking for more money. The kids got shot at that movie, and that little baby got shot. Be good if they didn't even go there in the first place. What, lady, man? So I like that kind of preaching. Jesus don't like your kind of living. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Take that going to the bank and deposit it, amen. It's not right.
Amen.
I am a Christian.
Amen.
I'm to look and smell and act like Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. You said, I ain't heard that kind of preaching in a long time. Well, if you'd come here, you'd hear it all the time. Here's a sane man who would be a contributing citizen, one who was sitting right mind, clothed, and man in control. They had tried to chain him, fetter him. That means they put things on his ankles. He cried. He dwelt among the graveyard, his place of the dead, the tomb. He was a madman, crying in the grave night and day, crying in the mountains night and day, cutting himself with stones. Now I want to ask you, who's the madman here? I said the city fathers were the madmen. Who's out of control? I said the people in the world. People say, you Christians, you're just so much out of control. You're just trying to make us to read our Bible, make us to pray, and make us to stop killing babies. Yeah! Make us live moral. Yeah! Make us not, that we cannot cohabitate boy and boy and girl. Well, by the way, just want to remind you, it was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve at the beginning. And if it was Adam and Steve, we wouldn't have nobody in the first place.
Yeah.
Give the homosexuals a sodomite. Let me call them the right word. Give the sodomites a generation and there will be no more babies because it don't happen. And the Bible said in Romans, it's inconvenient. By the way, you want to know how I feel about it? I feel what God says. It's an abomination. It's a desecration. You say, oh, you're one of them homophobic. Whatever in the world that is, I don't know what that means. But I got a pretty good idea. It is not my job to kill them. You understand me? It's not my job to hang them on a fence and let them hang and dry all night and die. Not my job. It's my job to preach and encourage my men and women and boys and girls in my church and tell them that is an abomination and desecration to God. And you're not to do that. In fact, my Bible says you're not even supposed to poke fun at them. You're not even supposed to speak of it, even in secret, the Bible says. Well, I used to have a whole bunch of those jokes until I was reading my Bible one day. I go, whoa, I guess we'll get rid of that file. Yeah. This man was wild. He was out of control, but when Jesus met him, he straightened around. Look at here in verse 17, the townspeople prayed that he would depart out of their coast. And by the way, he did. Jesus, we don't want you here. We need you to get out of here. You're kind of a fundamentalist. You're kind of freaky, you know. You better get out of here because boy, you got some stuff that we need. You're scary. Isn't that the craziest? Isn't that the stupidest thing you ever read? Great things had Jesus done before them. Healed the blind. Can you imagine a little baby sick and Jesus touches your baby and it's well? Think of your grandma, she's sick. Maybe your granddad. And all Jesus does is just speaks and he's healed. Grandpa can't hear, but now he can hear. Grandpa could not speak, but now he can hear. Grandpa had leprosy and Jesus healed him, and now he can come home. He doesn't have to lay on the heaps at night. And they're saying, you're a little bit too big for us, so you just go out of here. You better leave us. This is spooky. Bible says that he had done them and all men were moved. There's no way that we can imagine what could have been done for these people if they had begged him to stay. Jesus came into some communities and healed everybody, the Bible says. That would be like if Jesus Christ came in and said, no, Lord, get out. And he said, no, I'm just going to heal Captain and bring him back. I'm going to heal Marcia. I'm going to heal Carol. I'm going to heal Jerry. I'm going to heal Roy. And they said, get out of here. We don't want you. You're too spooky. How stupid would that be? You know, the world is really a bunch of imbeciles.
Amen.
Get out of here. Leave us. We don't want part of you. God, have mercy. I wonder how many churches tell that to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we don't like your plan. We don't like that we have to tell people about you and tell them about there's a heaven to come. We don't want to go out soul winning. Well, Lord, we're just happy coming to the little part here and having our little party and being our little group and, you know, bless John and my son and my wife and the children, and that's all. Amen. One of us going into all the world, boy, I've cost us some money. I was going to buy that new motorcycle. I was going to buy that new four-wheeler. I was going to buy that new gun. But Lord, hey, now wait a minute. Don't get pushy on around here. What do you mean 10%? Well, the world is out of control. There is no human help or relief available like Jesus Christ will give. I want you to remember that. You can live your life the way you want to live your life and do what you want to do. And by the way, God said, I'll give you a free will. You can just do whatever you want. He didn't stop the prodigal son. Just go ahead. Here's the money. Go on. Did he? Prodigal son found out it wasn't so good, didn't he? Lost everything. Anybody going to help you? No! Isn't that amazing? He had a wild life, full of hatred towards God, envy towards men, bound him with chains and fetters, always night and day in the mountains, crying and begging for relief, and he couldn't find it. Demon possessed, the old trickster. Later in the story, even the hogs knew better. When the demon possessed, the demons that possessed him said, please cast us into the pigs, and the pig jumped in. You know, pigs smarter than we are. They committed suicide. I don't want no devil living in me. Oink, oink. I want to show you something here. This sinner had a mighty Savior. I seen people yesterday going crazy. I saw guys all painted up. And boy, when their team made a touchdown, they just went, what? Let me say, I'll just say this. Yay, God.
Amen.
Yay, God. The gulf that separates me from Christ, my Lord, it was so vast, the crossing I could never ford. From where I was to His domain, it seemed so far. I cried, dear Lord, I cannot come to where You are. He came to me. He came to me. When I could not come to where He was, He came to me. That's why He died on Calvary. When I could not come to Him where He was, He came to me. He came to me when I was bound in chains of sin. He came to me when I possessed no hope within. He picked me up and drew me gently to His side, where today is His sweet love I now abide. Yes, He came to me. He came to me when I could not come to where He was. He came to me. That's why He died on Calvary. When I could not come to where He was, He came to me. Let me tell you something, kids. The old devil wants to get a hold of you. He wants to ruin you. Listen to me now. Listen. He wants to get you. He wants to ruin you. He wants you to take you as far from the toolbox of God as He can so that you cannot get back. He wants to ruin your life with a lifestyle that seems so glimmering and so shiny and so sparkling. And oh, wow. But I want to tell you something. All the pearls that the devil give you are paste pearls. They're not real. And all the fortune and fame that you think you get is only for a blip in the radar screen of life. Just all of a sudden it's gone. I've seen men who have just everything they touch turns to gold. Kind of like Midas. Remember King Midas, the story of King Midas? Everything he touched turned to gold? Well, let me tell you something. Let's look at the flip side. You got about 60, 70, maybe 80 years in this life. And when that's over, and it will be over, there's eternity looking you straight in the face. How'd you treat your wife? How'd you treat your children? How'd you treat your church? How'd you treat your family? There's more to it than the jing in your pocket or the bling bling you wear. There's more to it. There's that peace and that joy and the mercy and the love of God that makes life so important. You look at some of us old guys, been married for 44 years. And I'll tell you, you can look me straight in the face. And I'll tell you something. It's good when you're pure. It's good when you can say, "Hey, Marcia, you've always been the only woman. And I'm going to my grave with that." There's just something about a peace, about living for God and a godliness that just, I know we fail, but good night. 1 John 1:9, still in the book, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. Tonight you can walk out of here. Today you can walk out of here and your life can be as clean as a white driven snow by just saying, "God, forgive me of my sins." Show me a religion that has that. If you have a religion, you're going back and paying every time for it. And Jesus says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. I beg God, I pray God today that you would, first of all, if you do not know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, today you'd ask Him to be your Savior. And secondly, maybe you're here today and life's been kind of flippy and floppy. You're kind of floating a little bit instead of pressing towards the mark. Why don't you just right there and say, "God, I want to serve the Lord. I want to give Him with all my life." Let's pray. Father, thank You, Lord, for loving us and caring for us. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for the promise of heaven. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You have shed Your blood on the cross so that we could have everlasting life. Lord, now bless this time. Bless this service. Oh, God, I know the imps of hell and hell would just cringes when we talk about things like this. Because they know it's true. They don't want nothing to do with it. They're bent on slander. They're bent on gossip. They're bent on everything they can to ruin, to destroy this Word of God. I pray in the name of the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, that they'd get out of here and leave, that we could do something for you. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Preacher, would you pray for me right now that I'd ask Jesus in my heart? Right now, just say me. Raise your hand and say, I need Jesus in my heart." Maybe here today and say, "Preacher, there's some issues. There's some issues in my life right now. I'm having a battle." God bless you. This whole world is full of battles. Preacher, pray for me. Just put your hand up. That's right. God bless you. God bless. I'm in some battles right now. I'm young. I got some things that are going in my life. My life seems like it's just passing and passing so quick. Yeah. I'll tell you what. You get on the bus with Jesus. You get on the train with Jesus. I'll tell you what. And just stay on with it. It'll be a good ride. It'll be a good ride. When you're going through the tunnels, He's still there. When the darkness comes, He's still there. Don't you give up. You parents, kids, or just teenagers, God bless you. Pray, pray, pray that God would get a hold of them, that they'd see the difference. My Holy Spirit of God, I pray you'd move in our hearts and lives and be with us during this invitation. And God, I thank you for what you've done and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. You're here today and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven." Why don't you come right now? Let me show you from God's Word. Let me show you from God's Word how you can be saved. You're here today and you say, "Preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed the Lord and believers' baptism." Why don't you take care of that today? It's a little step of faith to do what God wants you to do. You're here today and say, "Preacher, we need to become members of this church. Why don't you come with us this time?" You're here today and say, "Preacher, there's some things in my life that just I'm having a hard time about." My friend, there's a God in heaven that loves you so much that He wants to do a great work in your heart and your life. I tell you what, I thought I was going to lose everything when I turned my back on my buddies. You know what? That's what I found what the true life was about. Those rascals were tearing me down. They're taking me with them. That's what Proverbs is written all about, young men. You ought to read Proverbs every day, guys. Every day. Today's the 30th. You ought to read Proverbs 30. Tomorrow, Monday, October 1st, you ought to read Proverbs number 1. First Proverbs, chapter 1. Every day you ought to read a proverb. I'll tell you what, this old world wants to take you and eat you and chew you and spit you out. Get all the good out of you and then leave you. And I'm telling you, it's a world of craziness out there. Now, God, go with us today. And, Lord, bring us back tonight. Bring us back this week, Lord, as we have the Intermountain Baptist Fellowship. May we be a blessing and help and encouragement to each other. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, you're dismissed.